You're listening to SBS News.
Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to declare open the 27th session of the Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change.
Alok Sharma struck the gavel declaring the opening of COP27 in Egypt. 40,000 participants, including 120 heads of state, are gathering for the climate conference, which is getting underway in the country's seaside resort, Sharm el-Sheikh. The COP26 president, who chaired the last climate summit in Glasgow, delivered the opening remarks.
Just as every report shows that we are making some progress, they're equally clear that there is so much more to be done in this critical decade. Friends, we are not currently on a pathway that keeps 1.5 in reach. And whilst I do understand that leaders around the world have faced competing priorities this year, we must be clear, as challenging as our current moment is, inaction is myopic and can only defer climate catastrophe.
It's now estimated global temperatures have increased by 1.15 degrees Celsius, with scientists saying the previous 8 years are thought to be some of the warmest on record. Against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine, high inflation, food shortages and the energy crunch, delegates are attempting to achieve meaningful change towards lowering emissions. But there are doubts about whether that can be accomplished. On the eve of the summit, hundreds of climate protesters blocked private jets from leaving Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport. Protesters also gathered at the conference. Youth Envoy leader Omnia El Omrani says she doesn't want young people to be excluded from talks.
As the young demographic, the biggest demographic on Earth, we are 1.4 billion, but we are also the most affected and we're disproportionately impacted. Our health is affected, both our physical and mental health, and at the same time we are the least contributors and the least there in the decision-making process.
Protests have been a long-time characteristic of previous summits, but are expected to be toned down this year. Since the election of Egypt's president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, in 2014, there's been sweeping clampdowns on dissent. Meanwhile, some envoys are showing reservations about the adoption of climate compensation as an agenda item. Delegates have held late-night talks to put the delicate issue of whether rich nations should compensate poor countries most vulnerable to the effects of climate change on the formal agenda for the first time. For over a decade, wealthy nations have rejected official discussions on what is referred to as loss and damage, or funds they provide to help poor countries cope with the consequences of global warming. This year's COP27 president, Sameh Shoukry, says he hopes countries can move forward with a more transparent negotiation process.
We have sensed over this year specifically a change in the positions of delegations that had reservations. I think this has come about because of the momentum that has been created since Paris, since Glasgow, and the need to maintain that momentum and the recognition that that can only be done if there is a sense of equity and confidence and trust.
There are some notable absences at the gathering. Leaders of two of the world's biggest polluters, India and China, won't be attending, casting doubt about what can be achieved without them. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is also not in attendance. Energy Minister Chris Bowen and Assistant Minister Jenny McAllister will be going instead. The Minister for International Development in the Pacific, Pat Conroy, will be pushing for Australia's bid to co-host a future UN climate conference with Pacific nations. Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek says the PM's absence shouldn't damage Australia's chances of hosting.
I think Australia is very well represented, and the most important thing here is Australia has already demonstrated by the laws that we have passed that we are serious about addressing climate change, and the international community knows that.
Speaking at the summit was World Meteorological Organization Secretary General Petteri Talas, who issued this gloomy forecast.
Unfortunately, we have already lost this melting of glaciers game which means that the sea level rise is supposed to continue for the coming hundreds of years or even thousands of years.
Those sentiments echoed by the International Organization for Migration Chief Antonio Vitorino, who says time is running out.
We are running short of time to act. In Somalia, you have 1.1 million people forcibly displaced because of the drought. In Pakistan, you have 3 million people displaced because of the floods. There are millions of people all over the world, in all regions, today, that they are already suffering in their daily lives because of the impacts of natural disasters and climate change.
He says communities will need to adapt to a fast-changing climate. Delegates will continue to negotiate for a period of 2 weeks. The summit will also feature cultural workshops, exhibitions, performances from Indigenous groups, academics, artists and members of the fashion community. Hannah Kwon, SBS News.